Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody, Happy New Year. You got the producer, the miracle man is on his way somewhere. It's a Happy New Year. Oh, hold on, I messed up. It's a Happy New Year. We're glad you're a part of this new year. And, you know, as always is the case, here's how this program works. Miracle Man will be here in a little bit. And he'll be telling us what he's got planned for this year. And it'll be a good plan, and it's going to be a great year. 2018 is the year for breakthrough. That's what I'm calling it. The year for breakthrough and peace. Breakthrough into that place where you want to be, God wants you to be, you ought to be. And peace on the way getting there. You know, when we talk about peace in a military conflict, that means we've overpowered them. And the stupid people that are being stupid have decided they're not going to be stupid no more. And we have shown them that superior firepower works. Well, and intelligence. And wisdom. So that, I won't charge you for that one. How you get a hold of us here is 215-383-3810. I better get off that or Miracle Man will be like, what are you talking about? 215-383-3810. That's the number you use to call in and be able to talk to the host here today. Miracle Man is your host. And, you know, I'm going to see if I can inspire him at the beginning of this year to tell his story again. He told his story last time in the summertime when he first started the show, and he might have been a little nervous. It might be good to get him back on here and tell the story again beginning of the year so that you can understand where we're coming from here. The Miracle Man is quite the overcomer. He has overcome in many, many different ways. And 27 different surgeries he's gone through to be where he is today. And amazing man of God who loves the word of God and preaches and teaches and exhorts every time he gets on here. Now, I can see that he's waiting to talk, so I got the mic, so now I can talk about him. This is one of the most loving men you'll ever find. Very caring individual. Very righteous young man who loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And not only is he believing for a miracle for you, he's believing for a miracle for himself. And that's why we call this the Miracle Man Show. So faith, fun, and miracles is on the way. Here we go. Miracle Man, are you there?
Yes, sir. I am here. I'm back home, preacher. Praise the Lord, everybody.
You survived the deep south. You probably don't even have any desire to go back there, do you?
I have all the desire to go back there. In fact, folks, by the way, folks, when I was little, I was having all those surgeries down there, and I survived those. But when I was really little, I'd be down there staying at the Ronald McDonald House for what seemed like an eternity after surgery. And I would be asking sometimes when I figured it was close to the time to go home. Now, the first bunch of days, I wouldn't ask, can I go home? Because I knew, you know, I could understand why I was there because I wasn't feeling good. But later, as I was feeling better, I was asking sometimes, when can I go home? When can I go home? When can I go home? You know, nowadays, the last 6 years, 8 years or more, I ask myself, when can I go back down south? So I totally changed completely. I've loved it down there for a lot of years. I love the food. I love the people. And so, folks, it's great to be back with you. Here's the plan. The plan is this. I'm going to tonight. We're going to read on faith. Then I'm going to begin the. We'll begin reading from Exodus tonight, and we're going to be talking for a bit on Moses and all that. We're going to journey through Exodus together like we did Genesis. So, what's going to happen is every day, every time we do one of these, we're going to do, generally it's going to be for a show. Sometimes it'll be two for some of the shorter ones. And we're going to go through and talk about Moses and what happened in Israel and all that. So I would have got to it sooner, but the holidays got in the way and teaching on that. So now, here we go. And so that's going to be it. And then also tonight, I'm going to give you a bit of an update on what happened when I was down there as far as what I did down in Nashville, Tennessee. And then we got a slew of football to get to, a big slew of football to get to tonight from over the weekend. Some surprises happened, some things that are not so surprising that happened. So we got all that coming. So it's going to be faithful football. And then I want to encourage you for a couple minutes about the new year that started. And so without further ado, I'm at McDonald's on Saginaw Road here in Midland. And I'm across from Kmart. I'm northwest of a Marathon gas station and southeast of a Disability Network for Mid-Michigan office. And again, I'm in McDonald's towards the back of the building. So you're probably sitting there thinking, you know, I figured out how to join the show online, and how to get on here. Now, what do I tell others to do to get on here and to connect with this show? Well, it's really easy to do this. I've said it a bunch of times. I say it again. Sorry, folks, for being repetitive, but we want people to know how to join us. So you can tell them what to do is you go to blogtalkradio.com, all one word, blogtalkradio.com, and then you'll see a search bar. Under that search bar, you type in Upfront Entertainment. Again, that's Upfront Entertainment. And then you'll see the link to Preacher and Miracle Man Show. That's us. And we've done over 65 episodes together. And all these episodes that we've done are archived. You can go back and watch them on the way home from work. If you can watch them on the way to work, you can watch them while you're at work. You can watch them wherever you are that you've got a good connection. And that's what's so great about technology. And we've done a lot of great things, you know. All my episodes where I talked about Genesis and Joseph and Jacob and that, all the Christmas stuff I did. Christmas is over unless you're Catholic, but we have that. And then we have, a bunch of great stuff up there. My football predictions that I'm going to do again tomorrow, and all that great stuff up there. So you can go through and listen to them. You can also, there's something else you can do. You can hit that follow button when you get there online. You can hit that follow button and you'll be notified every time we're going to do a show. And remember this, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone. Always a smart idea. Always.
Always, always, always.
And also, to get in touch with me, you can follow me on Twitter at Rivers Joel Schuchler. You can follow me on Twitter, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name S-H-U-K-L-A. Go on Twitter and follow me. And I'm going to start tweeting a word of the day. Like tomorrow, like whatever I feel like God's putting on my heart. Also, there'll be some tweets as far as where I might have been. And so, you know, it's so great. Technology is just an amazing thing. Now, I got a bunch to get to tonight, so I'm going to get right into it right now. But first, before I do that, I'm going to open with a wonderful word of prayer.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for these wonderful listeners who have joined in with us. I thank you that you bless these people for giving up their time and just spending some time with us and listening to what we have to say. I thank you that you're just enabling me, anointing me, showing me what words to let out of my lips. And I thank you, Lord God, that you're helping me and you're helping all these listeners. And I thank you, Lord God, for a great show tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Preacher man, did you give out the phone number or did you forget?
I did give it out.
Okay, so we're good there. Now,
you're good to go.
So now here we go. Folks, if you got your Bibles, if you would please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 1. Praise God, Exodus chapter 1. And we're going to start looking at Exodus. And if you're looking for where in your Bible, it's right after Genesis. If you came to Numbers or Leviticus or something like that, you went too far. Now, I'm going to begin with verse 1. And we want you to participate with us. If I open the Word of God, we open up the Word of God, you open, and you got a Bible with you, you open the Word also. We sing, you sing. You pray, we pray. I mean, if we pray, you pray. And that's the way it works. And I have found my place. So now I shall begin right now.
I'm just going
to begin. These are the names of the sons of Israel who went to Egypt with Jacob, each of with his family. Reuben, Simeon. Levi and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. The descendants of Jacob numbered 70 in all. Joseph was already in Egypt. Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died, but the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king who did not know about Joseph came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become much too numerous for us, so we must deal mightily with them. or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, well, they will join our enemies and fight against us and will leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them and forced labor. And they built Pithom and the Ramites as and stove cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians became came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and in all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, their names were Shaphat and Puah. When they helped the Hebrew women in childbirth, observe them on the delivery stool. If it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives and the people, and the people created, and they became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all of his people: every boy that is born to you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Wow. Some pretty crazy stuff. Now, before I exhort you tonight, I am going to turn to Hebrews, a wonderful faith chapter. So, that in mind, Hebrews 7:17, and so about that, I have found my spot, so we shall begin right now. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certainty of what we do not yet see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did, and by faith, he was commended as a righteous man, who spoke well of his offerings, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. God, because God had taken him away. and as he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must first believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when he was warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he obeyed the word, and he became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, he obeyed and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of the same purpose. For he was looking forward to the city of foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, when he was even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So from this one man, and he as good as dead, and his descendants were as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All of these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them, and they welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he has prepared a city for them. And by faith, Abraham, when God touched him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. When God tested him, he offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He had received the promises. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons, and he worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, he spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions about his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith, he kept the Passover from the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. And by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I don't have the time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith they conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions and quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and they refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, whilst others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. And now, the first few verses of 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that so hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangled us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who through the joy sent before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, these Israelites, the new king, where's his headphones?
Oh, I couldn't find them.
Now that new king of Israel, the one that was not Joseph, he didn't even know of Joseph, and he wanted to control the population. But all that happened was had all kinds of slave drivers, and he put them through forced labor. You know, like the slave drivers of the Civil War back in the South. Slave states, free states. And so, but what he did was not nice. They were working so hard that some of them died from being overworked. And so, my God, in this country, it's not like that anymore. But now, let's talk about this faith stuff. God wants us. He actually requires us to have faith in order to please him. Without faith, can't please God. And faith without works is dead. But about this pleasing God thing, when you go to church, you got to have a mindset of, I'm going to receive tonight from this great Jesus. I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive what Jesus wants me to receive when pastor opens the word. Or in my case, pastor or whatever minister is filling in, or the guest speaker, if we have a guest speaker, that I receive from the vessel what God wants me to receive. And that by that message, my faith is being built up. And so, you know, you can't build up faith by just reading your Bible. You have to hear it. This could mean, for example, streaming. A good spirit-filled pastor, if it's a church with streaming, like Mark Barkley Ministry, you can stream the services. But better yet, it's preferred that you go to church. I would strongly prefer that you go to church, the spirit-filled church. Even if you're listening to, you know, these CDs of Mark Barkley or another great spirit-filled man, Kenneth Copeland, you can build up your faith. But faith does not come by reading. Reading the Bible is very important for your spiritual health, just like prayer is. But reading the Bible in itself, that's not what builds up your faith. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing the word of God preached. That means if you're listening to me, you're building up faith. And, you know, what you do with faith is up to you. What are you believing for? Are you still thinking of maybe something you want to put on your list for New Year's, your New Year's resolution? Maybe it's you believe in God for money for a new house or whatever you are looking for. Maybe it's faith for a miracle for yourself, a miracle in your family, a miracle of some other kind. Maybe it's a prodigal to come home. That ain't my business, but, that's your business, but you got to decide what you want that faith for, what you believe in for. Even to live though today takes faith. And, you know, you got to have, faith is not about this positive outlook. A positive outlook anyone can do, but some people just choose not to do that. Faith is the God kind of positive. It's the idea, in Jesus' name, I have, you know, whatever I believe, whatever I'm believing. Natalia Walsh, a great lady, a very amazing, she's now actually a missionary over in Honduras, but she would, when she was a minister at Living Word Church, she still comes and speaks once a year, but you know what she would say in the past when she was teaching on faith? Faith is now. Faith isn't yesterday. Faith isn't last year. Faith isn't 20 years ago. Faith is now. That means, you know, it's the belief of God. and that my manifestation will come to pass. Whatever you believe in for. Can't buy faith at the grocery store. Can't buy it at Meijer. Can't buy it off Amazon. It's really important to have faith. Is very important to have, you know, if you want to have a good life with God. You've always, and everybody has a need. Everybody's believing for something. And faith is a hope in God that what he said in his word will come to pass. So, faith, you can have all the faith in the world if you're believing for something, but if you go around saying with your mouth, then it's going to happen. My healing is not coming. I waited so long. I've waited for, you know, 30 some years for my back to be healed or whatever. And it hasn't happened yet. That can be a sign that you don't have the faith that you used to. Also, it can mean, you know, that you've given up on God. Or it could be just be a bad confession. And you've got to watch those words of your mouth. The Bible says, preacher man, will you find that verse for us that says about life and that life and death are in the power of the tongue?
Yes, sir. Proverbs chapter 18.
I don't have that with me, but if you'll please read it.
I can do that. Proverbs chapter 18. Give me just a second. I got to clear this and get the right translation. It is 18:20 is a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. And from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit.
Amen. That's important to think about, people, folks. So if you're spewing out bad things about that stuff I'm believing for, it's not coming. What's the use in believing? I've waited so long, it's not coming. Poof, I don't believe. If you're doing all that, it's calling for death. Now, if you say, I've been waiting a long time, I've been waiting too long, it hasn't happened. But, what are you saying? But, you know, by his stripes I am healed. I am who I am believing in. I believe that those things, and I believe like a tree planted by the rivers of water, my miracle is going to come to pass. Now, that's the kind of stuff that you should be confessing with your mouth for whatever you believe in for, in whatever area. That prodigal, that money, that business, you know, over your year, how you think this year is going to go. If you just start off saying, 2018 is going to be a bad year, then, well, it could just be that that's what happens. If you say, it's going to be a great year, and then you put effort to it to making sure that it is one, you follow your goal that you put out, you know, it's going to be a great year for you. But the tongue is the one enemy. You know, and the tongue is the part of the body that no one can tame. No man can tame your tongue. So you got to watch that baby very closely. Watch what comes out of it. Guard it like a baby. And because you can do so much damage with your tongue, but you can also do so much give, bring forth so much life with your tongue. That's the good news. Is that you can bring forth so much life with your tongue. So this is just a sort of what God was wanting me to speak about tonight was this faith, you know, and just in faith and kind of an introduction to how it works and stuff. So now, this portion
you know,
of the show.
You know, Miracle Man, can I say another thing about that verse?
Yes.
Because that, you know, that's verses. Wait a second. That is verse number 21. But if you go to verse 19, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle.
Oh,
all
is
of
that
ever true? Yeah. All of that's dealing with the tongue and demands of us to be careful what we say so that we're not offending our brother.
Yep. Yep. And you know, so you, yeah, and you can, by the way, folks, you can ruin, you know, all that stuff you believe in for by the words of your mouth. You can ruin it.
Exactly.
You can have, and your thoughts too. Speak right and you got to think right, you know, because your mind is the enemy. You got to wash that mind. You got to bathe that mind with the washing of the Coca-Cola of the word. Actually, it's the washing of the water. The water.
Yes. Wow, yes.
The water. Spiritual water. It's not necessarily the water in your cup at McDonald's, like you get a water instead of a pop. It's the spiritual water. Some soap and water. And you're washing your mind, renewing your mind with the washing of the water of the word God. You gotta renew that mind all the time. Because that mind is enmity against us.
Yes.
That mind and your tongue, they're the two biggest enemies. You have to work at both all the time. You have to make sure. And the more in right with God you are, the easier it'll be. Some people struggle with this so much more than others, you know. It's a work in progress. Lord God, help these people to take to heart everything I've said. Help these people to just feel the challenge and know, you know, that I'm very serious. This stuff is very serious. This stuff about the faith and this guarding your mouth and guarding your mind. It's very important that you have the mind of Christ, but we have your mind. So help us, God. Just help us, Lord God. And help us through this new year. And be with us, Lord God, this year. Just bless these great people in Jesus' name.
In Jesus'
now,
name. Amen.
Now, this next portion of the show. So, let me tell you about where I've been the last few days. Let me get that wallet. Let me see. Hang on, I'm just getting something.
Large Coke, no ice. Okay. And then,
nothing. No.
Nothing else right now. Okay, there we go.
But, yep. Anyhow, sorry about that, folks. Yes. But to remind you of this. So the last few days, from Friday night up until Tuesday morning, I was in Nashville, Tennessee. Beautiful place. Nashville is right, pretty much dab in the middle of the state of Tennessee, and is awesome place. Awesome. If you like country music, if you like Christmas lights, this time of year that we just had, very nice. But I'll tell you about what we did. So we stayed at this beautiful hotel, the Sheraton Music City, which is a bit northeast of downtown Nashville. And we stayed there. Very nice rooms. Awesome hotel. Workers are nice. So just beautiful. They have an indoor pool and an outdoor pool. Of course, the outdoor pool is only open during the summer. But it's a very nice place. It's a huge hotel, several different restaurants and what have you. But nice facility. Actually going through remodeling right now. But oh, look what's here.
French fries.
The show, nope. This show has been brought to you by Coca-Cola, which is America's greatest drink on earth. Yes. And by the way, I saw a big Christmas sign for Santa on it for Coca-Cola. No, it was not for Dr. Pepper. It was for Coca-Cola. In fact, I didn't see any Dr. Pepper signs while I was in Tennessee, just Coke.
Now, Miracle Man. Yesterday was my mom and dad's 58th wedding anniversary.
Okay, yes.
And they live in Tennessee. And my sister, who lives in Georgia, took a picture of them sitting on her couch.
Yes.
And my mom's sitting there on the couch, and my dad's sitting next to her, and they're laughing. And next to my mom, which I never knew before, was a Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper.
It was the most beautiful thing you ever seen. And I just wanted to make sure I told you. Happy 58th anniversary, Mom and Dad Cottle, and enjoy your Dr. Pepper.
Yes. Yep. And yep. Now back to the story of the
Yeah, go ahead.
So we get there and we had such great favor with them. And I'm not going to get into all the details, but we had such great favor with them. And then Saturday we get up and we go to Opry Mills, wonderful mall, great mall with about 190 or 200 stores in it. Very busy place. There's no vacancies in it. Great food court, but it's one of my favorite malls in America because they have live performances every weekend for one reason. And I just love perusing it, going through the hallways and that. It's a really nice mall, indoor outlet mall at that. And then we went to Opryland, Gaylord Opryland Resort, where they had 3 million Christmas lights all around the property.
3 million. 3 million.
Yeah. 3 million Christmas lights.
Wow.
And a couple of waterfalls. But
You can feel that light, yeah. Can't you?
Yeah. And there was spread out all throughout the property. And outside, they had a live nativity scene with speakers on it, and it told about the great story of the birth of Jesus. And we only stayed by it for a second because it was cold outside. But to say, you know, it was so amazing. It was such an amazing experience. And I plan to go back another time at another Christmas to this Opryland thing, all these lights. It's just so amazing. Next time, I think I want to do it before Christmas while they're still playing all the Christmas music and stuff. So that's a bit more, you know, like Christmas then. And so Sunday, you know, we go to Pastor McMichael's church over in Cookeville, Tennessee, about hour and a half or so east of Nashville, along Interstate 40. And we go there, and such a loving congregation, and it's just awesome. He taught a wonderful message. And then we went to Kelly Semwell's son's nice, very nice person. She's very nice. Her son's nice also. And Kelly made us these slider burgers. And they're very good. I don't know if they're as good as some of that other southern food, like the southern biscuits, like a French toast biscuit or biscuits and gravy or some of that. But some very good stuff. And then Monday we go back to Opry, and then we go to this pancake pantry. I mean, we go back to Opry Mills, and then we went to this pancake pantry beforehand. Pancake Pantry, which is an excellent pancake place in Nashville. And we had to wait a while, but it was well worth the wait. Very well worth the wait. Well worth it, especially for a place that's just so excellent. Pancakes. I had the cornmeal pancakes, which tastes like that. It's like cornbread and pancakes with bacon and cheese. And those were amazing. I love cornbread and that. So for me, it was a godsend. It was like very good pancakes. And by the way, oh yeah, actually on Sunday, before I forget to say this, I had this peach cobbler shake. Peach cobbler is a big thing down south, and at this place called Cookout in Tennessee, have them all over. They're growing all over the south, and they're putting in more locations all the time. For example, there's one in Lexington. There's another one in, Louisville. No, there's not in Louisville yet, I don't think, but there's one in Lexington, one in Richmond, one in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and then a couple other places. But great place to grab a $5 tray or just grab a shake. And that peach cobbler shake was amazing. It was so amazing. And then, and then Monday night, we go to this other place after we leave the mall, and it's called Burger Up, which is a burger place, mainly just in Nashville area. But I had the Bird Burger, which is a good country fried chicken piece of country fried chicken on a sandwich with mayo. And let me tell you, it was really good. It was really good stuff. I honestly cannot wait to go back down to Tennessee. It's amazing. I love the food. I love the people. I could care less about that weather that was down there, but hey, the rest of America was cold too, so what do I have to complain about?
Exactly.
I'll probably be back in end of June or in early, either very early July or like the tail end of July or maybe December, like early December, because I really would like to do that opera thing when it's Christmas time, but not after December 25th. Because I want to get to hear, see it and hear it with Christmas music all over the place and everything else. And, plus, that mall played really loud country music, which I like country, but they play it really loud like how I like it too. But so I can only imagine if they play Christmas music that loud also, then you can hear it like through the whole place. I don't like it how some malls in certain places you can barely hear the Christmas music. I'd like them to play it loud all over. I don't know exactly when, but it's a possibility that I'll be back to Tennessee at some point this year. Which brings me to this. This travel insight / my travel update has, in fact, been brought to you by the wonderful state of Tennessee Tourism, who asks you to come in and come and enjoy the great state of Tennessee. As they say, America at its best. From great cities, four great major cities, with different vibes to high mountaintops, to river areas, to low flatlands. It's a state that has a bit of all kinds of different terrains. Sorry, ocean lovers, no oceans in Tennessee. You will have to go generally 1 to 2 states further south to get to them. But if you're a history buff, if you're a music lover, if you're into great shopping, if you're into great food, if you're into meeting great people, Tennessee's the place. If you're looking for, maybe say you're living in New York or something like that, where you're living in an area that's super expensive, well, Tennessee just might be a better alternative, where the cost of living is lower than, say, a place like New York or California or, Boston. Tennessee is not the most expensive place by any means. It's a great place to raise a family. Nice temperate climate normally. Summer can get a little bit hot and humid, but I kind of like that because it's good for swimming. But nonetheless, to the ad, it's a great place. On the west side of the state, you got Memphis, home of Elvis Presley. In the middle of the state, you got Nashville. Biggest city in the state, capital of Tennessee, as well as home of country music. On the east side of the state, you have Chattanooga, home of many outdoor attractions, such as Ruby Falls, Lookout Mountain, along with indoor attractions like the Tennessee Aquarium and various ways to see the river, a nice long riverfront walk. One of the longest pedestrian bridges in the world is in Chattanooga. Great place for nature lovers, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And if you're a history buff, Tennessee History Museum is in, Tennessee Civil War Museum is in Chattanooga. I don't think I haven't went there, but I will next time if I go to Chattanooga later this year when I go to, possibly go to Tennessee. Oh, and if you're looking for, and then Knoxville is a nice place. There's mountains nearby and stuff. And then we have Gatlinburg, home of Dollywood, which I haven't been to yet, as well as Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which is wonderful mountains. Wonderful. If you're into hiking, it's just great. Also, about an hour from Chattanooga, you have Falls Creek Falls, Fall Creek Falls. From my understanding, it's the tallest waterfall, single waterfall, that is east of the Mississippi River. I didn't see it. I was recommended on Sunday, but when we found out I was 2.5 hours away from Nashville, we decided not to. But when I go to Tennessee, next, that's going to be on my list, is to go to Falls Creek Falls, which is a very nice waterfall. So if you're someone who's used to maybe over spring break, yes, parents with kids, spring break is coming up in about two and a half or so to 3 months, depending on your system. And if you're looking to go somewhere, maybe your family who's went to Florida all the time. To that, I would say Florida's awesome if you're looking for the water. But how about give Tennessee a try, where they have a different range of stuff? They got the mountains, if camping is your thing. You got various, you know, you got Nashville, Chattanooga, Knoxville. Spring break might be a good time to go, but the best time to go would be summer, where you can see it at its best. And if you're looking for an escape from the humidity, go up to the mountains. It's not quite as humid up there. It's not. From my understanding, Crossville, for example, is a bit cooler than Nashville or Memphis. And let me tell you something. I've been down there myself during the summertime to Nashville and to Chattanooga. You know what I found a couple times? I found that Chattanooga was actually not quite as humid as Nashville. Preacher Man, have you been in that state in the summer? To both cities? Have you been to both Chattanooga and Nashville?
I've been in both cities.
During the summer?
Oh, yeah.
Ever on the same day? Was it ever on the same day?
I used to drive semi down through there. So, yeah, I'd drive through Nashville and then to Chattanooga.
Did you find that more commonly than not, that Nashville was more humid than Chattanooga was?
I don't know, because I never stopped in Nashville too much.
Did it seem like Chattanooga was a bit less humid than some other southern cities?
I seem to like Chattanooga a lot better, yeah, myself.
And even humidity-wise, Chattanooga was not terrible, was it?
No, huh?
You did not think it was as bad as some places further south, like Georgia and stuff?
Yeah, Georgia was really bad.
Atlanta, I'm guessing
that's where I ended
worse.
Up was Atlanta, and that was just horrible. I didn't like Georgia at all.
As far as what, the humidity?
Yeah, I don't like humidity.
God
grew me up in Michigan on purpose.
South of Atlanta is even more humid, isn't it?
Of course, the closer you get to the ocean, the more humidity you're going to get. So.
So what helps Chattanooga out is being right near those mountains.
Yep.
So that helps Chattanooga a lot. Otherwise, it would probably be a humid city. But part of why I love it is that it's a place generally where if you're looking for a good year-round climate. Now, Memphis, I would steer clear of in the summer if you don't like humidity, but Tennessee is a place for everybody. Snow skiing, maybe not as much, but everything else, you know. Great place. It's just a great place. It's kind of near the middle. So, you know, Tennessee wants you to come and visit. And you can Remember, Tennessee is America at its best.
America at its best.
Yes. So, now, here we, now, two sports we go, and we start with NFL. And, well, I'm going to start off with a tad bit of bad news, and here's what it is. Lions were unable to make the playoffs, and they fired their head coach. They fired Mr. Jim Caldwell after four seasons. They actually, his worst record actually was 7-9. Believe it or not, 7-9 was his worst record. After they started off 1-8, they came back and started winning and won 6 of their last 7 back in 2015. But I think the reason he got fired is probably because he missed the playoffs this year when they were expected to make it. But he actually won more games than he lost. But now they need to look for a new coach. And the person who is on the top pick right now is the defensive coach for New England. To that I say this. Defensively, the Lions do at least decent. We need to focus more on offense other than just Stafford. They need a running game badly. We need to be able to run the football. It is so important. You've got to be able to run the football. And when you have no running game, you're not going to win these games to the degree that you could otherwise be winning them. So, you know, it's just something to think for the Lions to think about. Now, on Sunday, the Lions did beat Green Bay 35-11. So they went out with a nice, good win, but too little, too late.
Go Lions!
And my feeling on it is this. Had the Lions actually got that touchdown through the last second of the game at Ford Field, and had the refs not messed with that silly 10-second rule, had they not enacted that and made it so that that last 10 seconds had to be taken off the clock so that they didn't have the time to get it from the 1-yard line and get that touchdown in, I think the Lions would have made the playoffs, and Atlanta would have been sitting out. And then, you know, then I think Caldwell would have kept his job. Or at least for another week. We would have had to wait and see what would have happened. So Lions finish off the regular season 9-7. 9-7. So Zettel had a pretty good year, and better luck next year, boys. And I will keep you updated on coaching as to what happens and who they select. Next up. This did not surprise me, but it did. Cleveland Browns, 0-16. Actually, in the final 2 years, in the last 2 years, the Browns were worse than the 07 and 08 Lions in this way. 07, Lions start out, Lions 7-9, including a 6-2 start. After which, the first half of the 07 season, the Lions went a combined 1-23. 1-23. And now the Cleveland Browns however, started the 2016 season at 0-14. Get a win, and then a loss, so 1-16. After that, however, 0-16 this year. So you had 7-25 versus 7-25 versus 1-31. 1-31 to me looks quite a bit worse on paper than 7-25. Don't you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's the
And
that's
you know
the
what
part
the Browns chose
everybody
to do?
Up. What?
At least for now, they're not getting. They said that one win out of 32 games, doesn't that look worse than 7-32?
Sure.
And guess what they decided to do? They decided we're keeping our head coach.
And firing a quarterback. No?
Nope. For now, they're going to keep him. But they got first round in the draft.
Oh, there you go.
And that place really needs to have their house cleaned because how 1-32 is not good at all. So they really got to change some things. They want to be successful in this league. Now enough with the bad stuff. Now let's get to some better stuff like the playoffs. Now, NFL playoffs. Here is what you have this weekend. Number 6, Atlanta. At number 3, New Orleans. Atlanta is the number 6 team this year in the playoffs. Number 6. So it's Atlanta at New Orleans. And then other side of NFC for this weekend is number 5, Carolina, at number 4. Is number 3 Los Angeles, or is that number 4?
Hang on just a second. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Let's see. Here we go.
NFC.
NFC. All right. Who are you talking about?
Atlanta's number 6, and number 3 is Los Angeles, right?
Wow. I don't have a standing number like that. Let me see. Here we go. Hold on.
The reason I call it 6 is because, you know, that's how they're seated.
I don't have. Let's see. Playoff pitcher. Let me try this one. Let's go. Wow. All right, I just keep clicking on the wrong links. Just hang on there and we'll get back to it. Just keep going. I'll be right back with you here.
But then, you know, the playoffs are set. Here's what we do have right now. NFC, here are your division champions. NFC North is Minnesota, so they get to host a game. They're on a first-round bye. NFC East, you have Philadelphia, who just Minnesota has a first-round bye, and they also have home field advantage throughout the whole. I thought I was going to sneeze, but not. But throughout the whole NFC playoffs. Then, also, you have your West champions are the Los Angeles Rams, and your South champions are the New Orleans Saints. So we're just waiting for a second to find out if the Rams have, and then the two wildcard teams on NFC are Carolina and Atlanta.
Carolina and Atlanta. I don't see, I'm missing a standings.
Just go by who plays who then this weekend.
Well, the Titans play the Chiefs. Tennessee plays the
Chiefs. Chiefs are wild card.
And then the Falcons play the Rams.
Oh, so that so what that means is Atlanta's number six, and that means Atlanta's number six, and that Rams are number three. And then
all right, the Bills are playing the Jaguars.
In Jacksonville.
Yep.
And then, also, so
the Panthers
that
are playing
it,
the Saints.
In New Orleans. So, let me repeat that for you guys. As far as these are the games for this weekend. Here we go. NFC, the number six Falcons at 10-6 are going to play the Los Angeles Rams. Next game, the Carolina Panthers at 11-5 play the New Orleans Saints in New Orleans. That's your NFC side. AFC. Jaguars, which are a surprise team. Jaguars, a team who had struggled for so long, and now they win the AFC South, and they get to host the Buffalo Bills, a team who has not made the playoffs in a very long time.
Very long time, man.
You have the Kansas City Chiefs. They get to take on the Tennessee Titans.
Titans. Yep.
In KC, the loudest stadium in NFL. And speaking of loudest stadiums, as you have probably figured out, the Seahawks were unable to make the playoffs. The Seahawks did not make it, just like the Lions, and just like the Cowboys, the teams who finished with above 500 records, but no playoffs. So, you can't just be above 500. Sometimes you got to be 10-6 at very minimum. So, if I'm the Lions, I want to be 11-5. I want to be 12-4.
Yeah.
I'd love to be 14-2, but if Stafford can't be throwing interceptions, then he's got. And we got to work on that defensive line, and we got to, you know, there's some things we got to do so we can get there. And then again, Vikings and Eagles have byes, as do the Steelers and the Patriots. They will play next week. Now, college football. Michigan State got a great win, a very good win over Washington State. A very good game. Very, very good game over Washington State. They got a pretty, really nice win, 35-21. Michigan, however, did not fare so well, as they lose 30-24 in the Outback Bowl in Florida to South Carolina. Michigan losing to the SEC or a Southern team. Michigan lost to a Southern team last year. in Florida. So that is the Michigan college football update. Now let's look at that national picture for the college football playoff that happens on Monday night that, and that you can listen to on ESPN Radio 100.9 FM. So, on Monday, you had Oklahoma taking on Georgia, and Georgia is able to take out Oklahoma by the score of 54-48 in two overtimes. I said Georgia would beat Oklahoma. They did. So I got that right. Next up, you had Alabama versus Clemson, rematch of the national championship game of the previous 2 years. Only this time was not as close. Alabama, number 4, beat Clemson, number 1, by the score of 24-6.
Wow.
24-6. Wasn't even really a game. Alabama had them beat fair and square after losing to Auburn in the Iron Bowl to finish out the regular season for Alabama and Auburn. And then Auburn goes off and loses in a bowl game after losing to Georgia in the SEC championship. They lost to a different school that I forgot their name either. Oh, yeah, University of Central Florida. Auburn lost to University of Central Florida, which is a bit of a smaller school, like a CMU type thing. Which, in a way, Alabama totally recovered from it. So Alabama gets to play Georgia Monday night in Atlanta. So,
and that's the national championship?
Yep, for college football, yep. So you're gonna have Georgia, Bama, all SEC for the first time in the history of the college football playoff. You had this a few years ago under the BCS game, something like this. Only the difference is this. Back in 2014, when it was LSU, Alabama, both of those two teams were actually from the SEC West. So not only were they from the same conference, they were from the same division, the West. This is different, so this makes a bit more sense. Georgia is an SEC West school. I mean, Alabama is an SEC West school. Georgia is an SEC East school. So they earned it. They were able to get there by playoffs. So that's what we get. Kind of like the Clarkston thing in West Bloomfield in Michigan high school football, as I said a little over a month ago on the show. But that's what you have for your college football. Alabama versus Georgia. Big Ten had won 7-0 in college football games up until Michigan lost. Ohio State had even beat USC 24-7, right-handedly. The Ohio State that lost to Oklahoma and lost to Iowa were able to win their way out the rest of the way. So, reminder that Coca-Cola is the best soft drink on the planet. Here we go to basketball. And for college basketball, the new number 1 out of the top 25 for men's college basketball, Michigan State. first time in many years that Michigan State has been ranked number one in the top 25. So that's pretty cool. Pistons played tonight on the road, I believe. And then Red Wings play soon. A reminder that in about 6 weeks or 7 weeks, the Major League Baseball Major League Baseball will start spring training in Lakeland, Florida with the Detroit Tigers. So in a while, that will be starting right up. And also, should bring this to your attention. In a few weeks, starting on January 20th, going to the 28th of January, is the North American International Auto Show at Cobo Center. A lot of great cars to look at there. If you like classic cars, if you like new cars, if you like luxuries, if you like motorcycles, like over 700 displays that you can get up close and personal with, all under one roof at Cobo Center. Go to NorthAmericanInternationalAutoShow.com or NAIAS.com. I forget which it is, but go to that website to find out more information. You know what? I'm actually going to say what it is right now. Show hours will be 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The 20th to the 27th, and 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday the 28th. Also, adults, $14. Children, 7 to 12 are $7. And then adults, seniors, are $7. Also, a reminder that no one will be admitted after 1 hour prior to show ending for the night, which the first 8 days means no one is allowed in after 9 p.m. And then on the final day, no one is admitted after 6 p.m. Again, this is in downtown Detroit, 1 Washington Boulevard. You can get there via People Mover if you're from elsewhere in the city near the downtown area, or by car. It's your choice. Just thought I should give you an idea that that is coming up soon. Are you into cars, by the way, preacher man, or no?
Am I what?
Are you into cars? Have you ever been to the North American International Auto Show?
No, I've not been to that one, but I've been to a couple other ones. I went to the one at Northwoods a couple years in a row.
Auto show is something I generally would go to every 2 years, but now that my parents live there, they just moved there last year, and I was there this year and then 2 years before that, so it's going to be a bit more of an every year thing now, I think, but just thought I'd let people know that that is going on in the auto thing. So if cars are your thing, go down to Detroit and check out that car show. Maybe you're looking for a new car, a brand new car, and are looking for what's available. You can learn a lot of great things about the cars. Also, reminder, the show has been brought to you by McDonald's. You can download the McDonald's app to find out what deals are available near you based on your location. You can register, and then you'll get those deals sent to you. And then also, tomorrow, the dollar menu launches. I think here at this McDonald's, it probably launched today, in which you have the $1, $2, and $3 menu. On this menu, for example, dollar Coca-Colas, soft drinks, excuse me, dollar any size Coca-Colas. You have dollar McChickens, $1 sausage burritos and something else. I forget what it is, but that's enough. But you have those. For $2, you can get any size, a small McCafe cold beverage. $3 gets you a Happy Meal. $2 also gets you, by the way, it also gets you a two of those chicken strips. Also, $3 gets you a kid's meal, a triple cheeseburger, or something else. I forget what it is, but I'll figure that out tomorrow. But go to McDonald's and check out that new menu. And this time I don't even have to say limited time only because it's going to be at least some semi-permanent, meaning for a long time, meaning for quite a while. And so, folks, I hope you had a good time listening to me.
Good show.
I had to say, and I love all of you and pray that God is with you guys. And until tomorrow, a reminder, God first, God always, and do something for me. And please try to stay warm as we deal with this cold weather. Reminder, windchill advisory goes into effect at 1 a.m. in the morning for this area, 5 a.m. in Detroit area, and then depending on where you are, will determine the time. And generally goes till noon tomorrow for wind chills as low as 25 below zero. So be watching out for any kinds of school closings. If your kid's school might be closed, look for that. And just stay warm. Remember to wear your hat and gloves if you go outside. And so until next time, God first, God always.
God first, God always.
So long, everybody, and stay warm.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.